Welcome to Periodically Vintage. My name is Bonnie, and I am an avid magazine collector. My collection spans from the 1930s all the way up through the early part of the 1990s, and I realize that there's just so much amazing and fascinating content between the pages that I really wanted to give these old articles a voice, because oftentimes a lot of the focus is given to old advertising and fashion spreads, which are all amazing. But I really wanted to give a voice to the actual articles in the magazines. So here it goes. For today's premiere podcast, I'm going to be highlighting True Story magazine. True Story is actually still in publication today. Its first issue came out in 1919. It was kind of like the reality TV of its day. Stories of sex, sin, and redemption were heavy-handed, and many readers also wrote in to contribute their views and stories. One regular column was called the Village Pump. It was kind of like a sounding board, quite reminiscent of how people vent their frustrations and views all over Facebook walls. So without further ado, I am going to be reading from the April 1948 issue of True Story and the Village Pump column. Should girls ask for dates? Men make their own dates, so why not give girls the same privilege? If they had it, they could pick men they are interested in instead of having to accept, oftentimes, dates from men they don't really care for. Now they accept such dates only because custom bars them from making better ones. If girls could make their own dates, they would broaden their chances for a permanent relationship. And that is as it should be, because after all, marriage is the ultimate goal of practically every healthy-minded normal girl. Under our present man-controlled dating custom, many girls never get a chance at a happy marriage because they can't make the dates that lead to such a life. I'm strong for girls making their own dates. Think of the flat tires they could avoid if they did. Think, too, how their dates would be stepped up in enjoyment and possible matrimonial chances because of better selection of men. Miss LLW. The Shower Racket. I am a senior in high school. I'm writing about a problem that is worrying everyone to death, especially in small towns and villages. It is showers. I think it should be stopped. Every time someone in school, or just someone you know, marries, someone gives them a bridal shower. Of course you're supposed to go and take a nice gift. And then in about a year, it's a stork shower for the same couple. I know of one family that has had 4 showers in the past month, and I want to say it gets monotonous. Kids like me that are trying to finish school don't have much money. With everything so high and all the expenses of senior year, all these showers make it hard on my family and every average American family. I think people, especially kinfolks, should realize this and stop giving them. I say again, stop the showers. Miss NJF. The Facts of Life. I have just read Snowbound in True Story. It reminds me so much of the way I was raised, only I had a mother, not an old maid aunt, and she had 8 children. Everything we should have been taught concerning the facts of life was kept from us girls. Not so the boys. They were in on everything. Sometimes I'd overhear mother talking to one of the boys. Of course I didn't understand what it was all about, but I knew it was some deep, dark, nasty secret, and I'd lie awake wondering about it. Part of the time we lived on a farm, and that is such a wonderful opportunity to teach children about nature, birth, and life. But if a cow happened to be giving birth to a calf in the small pasture by the barn, we girls were hurriedly shooed into a front bedroom and the door shut. I certainly tried to do a little better by my children. When they were old enough to start asking questions, I explained things as best I could. My mother practically disowned me for being so indecent, but I have my children's respect and not one of them is afraid to sit down and talk to me about anything. I think the so-called facts of life should be taught in the schools. I know lots of people are fighting it, but if the parents can't do it, someone is going to have to. That's the only way young people can have a chance at happiness, because all cases don't end up as happily as Ella's did in Snowbound. After all, if there had been any better way to produce life, I think God would have known it. He must be sorely troubled at the way people call his plans nasty and indecent. Mrs. V.O.J. Cure for nagging husband. Do you know how to cure a critical nagging husband? I found the secret accidentally, and I wanted to pass it on to others. When we were first married, I thought my husband was perfect, but gradually began to see that he was fault-finding and bossy, an exact replica of his mother who had driven his dad to drinking by her nagging. Instead of drinking, I decided to solve the problem by finding out why he nagged. It all boiled down to one thing: lack of self-confidence. He needed all he could get in his job where he was trying to work up to manager of a large retail store. So I began praising him and loving him. I told him quite often, "You're swell," and I meant it. It worked like magic. He is a much happier person and not half so critical. He goes to the store every morning oozing self-confidence. Although he may lose some of it in a day's competition, he still has the knowledge that his wife thinks he is wonderful, and that's what he needs. I know he will be a manager someday. Incidentally, we have been married 11 years, and he still has that love light in his eyes. Mrs. LHP. Self-consciousness. I am writing this so that it may help someone else who is growing up as I did. As I was growing up, I was always self-conscious of being ugly. So I grew up being backward, never joining in when the rest laughed or made jokes. I thought if I did, they would laugh at me, so I was very unhappy and felt unwanted by everyone. When I finished school, I went to work in a cafe. There I had to laugh and be cheerful with the customers. I soon found out that I was much happier when I laughed and made jokes with the rest. I met my husband there. He told me my laughing and smiling all the time was what he fell in love with. So all you young people, don't make the mistake I did. It only makes you unhappy. Smile, be happy. Then everyone will like you, ugly or not. Mrs. VM. High prices. Mark Twain once said, "Everybody talks about the weather, but nobody does anything about it." It seems to me this could be applied to government and high prices. The newspapers are filled with talk about high prices and what should be done about them. So far, that's all that has been done. Talk. My husband's salary is $50 a week. Written down, it looks like a pretty fair wage, but trying to live on it is something else. Maybe it would be a good idea to lower the congressman's salary to $50 per week. I'll bet then the prices would come tumbling down and quick. Mrs. J.M. His tombstone. In a small village down here in the south, we watched an old southern grandfather planting young trees along the street. Pleased at our interest, he said, "My kids have been at me to put up a fancy monument out in the old country cemetery, but I told them I had a better idea. I got a permit to plant fruit trees along the streets that don't have any, and I aim to spend the money I had spent for a monument that way. I've been around nigh on to 91 years. And I've never yet seen a feller who was looking for a shady place to rest or eat go out to the cemetery and sit under a monument, nor the kids skin the cat on one. And the old apple tree? I figured it didn't cost me no more and gave all them children their heart's desire of fruit and shade too. 20 years from now, nobody will ever remember old Pop Witt, but my grandson over there, he'll be here to get some good out of these trees. And everybody that walks down this street can enjoy their threefold crop, blossom, apple, and shade." Mrs. M.L.G. She married a Jew. I've just read Change of Heart, and am proud to be one of the Americans who learned, as Iris, to accept all men on an equal basis. A year and a half ago, I met and fell in love with a young man. When I learned he was Jewish, I'll admit I was quite disturbed. My father is a Protestant minister, and I knew he would never approve of our relationship. However, last New Year's Eve, we were married, and believe me, we haven't regretted it. I believe we are the happiest young couple in the whole world. We have learned that with love in our hearts, even the most deeply rooted prejudices can be forgotten. Together, we have built a marriage that is strong enough to withstand any and all storms of race hatred, criticism, and disagreement. A marriage that we are proud of. If more people would learn to judge their fellow men by their individual merits alone, this would be a far better place in which to live. Thank you, True Story, for your bold stand against a situation which has been hush-hush for too long. Here's hoping the new year brings more stories like Change of Heart. Mrs. JJG. Not what it used to be. Everyone likes to hear good things said of themselves, and none of us care for the bad. But I am going to be frank with you, True Story. You are not as good as you used to be. Somewhere in your makeup there has been a change. Maybe it is because the stories are not as melodramatic as they used to be, or as down to earth. Who likes a lot of glamour anyway? We see enough of that around us every day, and it is sickening. Wake up, True Story. This is my first letter to you, and maybe my last. Mrs. MRL. Should she be told? My younger sister has cancer, only she doesn't know her sickness is cancer. She suffers untold pain most of the time, and many times we wonder if we should have told her the truth. She has 4 small children. Should a person that has been given up as incurable be told the truth? Perhaps some of the readers of Village Pump will give me their opinions. Mrs. H.H. He learned about psychiatrists. When my regular doctor told me to go and see a psychiatrist for my persistent headaches, I thought maybe he needed one. My impression had always been that one went to see a psychiatrist only when he thought he was going nuts, so to speak. My wife finally made an appointment, and I had to go. I told him of my headaches and that my doctor had recommended him, and then added that my doc evidently thought I was going crazy. He laughed. Well, he got to my trouble immediately. My headaches were brought on about my nervousness over a certain matter that was to come up in my personal life, which I won't mention here. After 3 visits with him, my headaches went away. I think most people are under the same impression that I was, that psychiatrists are only for people who are a little balmy or getting that way. Well, that's not true. They are doctors for mental cases, but they are also nerve specialists and can really do wonders in many ways. If only more people were fully informed about psychiatrists, a lot less grief and torture-stricken people would exist around us. Mr. CEG. In defense of redheads. Aren't redheads human? Being one, I always thought so, but lately other persons' remarks have started me thinking. It seems to be the rule that newly introduced people say, with that red hair, I suppose you have a temper to match it. Doesn't everyone have tempers? Yes, I guess I have a temper, but no worse than others with a hair of a different color. Once in a conversation I overheard, 2 girls were talking about another and they repeated that redhead, as if that was why they had to talk about her. Can't we leave hair color out of it and judge a person by what he or she may be? Or am I all wrong? Mrs. F.A.T. Helpful to teenagers. I have just finished your story, The Question, in your January issue. In this story, Laura reveals why so many teenagers are fighting against in this day and age. There are so many kids my age with the same problem. Laura was lucky because her father gave her such good, strong advice. I wish every young girl and boy could read this story. It would strengthen their minds and resistance to a great extent. I know it has helped me very much. I'm sure when Laura's sister got her letter, she knew exactly which way to turn. I hope every teenager turns this way too. Miss B.D. No money for marriage. I have heard many parents say, I will help John through college, but if he gets married now, he'll never see a penny of my money. Why are parents willing to finance their children's educations yet fail to see where financial assistance might be helpful to the young couples who try to build a home in these uncertain times? I'll always be grateful for the fine start my parents gave us when we got married. My husband had just been discharged from the service, and we were anticipating the first addition to our family. We didn't have much money, and our crowded dark apartment never seemed like home. My father arranged to give us a small but ample loan and helped to build us a house in which we can later grow with us. We can now easily pay back the loan in installments. How different life would be if we were still living in the cramped apartment. This is but one case where parental assistance might very easily have meant the difference between a happy marriage and a broken home. Mrs. LFC. She's fed up. I'm fed up. Absolutely fed up on hearing so much about teaching your children not to have racial prejudice. I'm 15 and I'm sure I'm more open-minded on the subject of racial prejudice than my parents. My parents don't seem to understand that it's the hating of other races and religions that cause wars and bloodshed. At school, I eat lunch with Japanese girls, dance with boys of other nationalities, but do I dare tell my parents this? I should say not. If my parents knew, they'd shame me and say I disgrace them. Does that sound like open-minded parents on racial prejudice teaching their children how to be good Americans? So come on, kids. Let's teach our parents how to be good Americans like they're supposed to be teaching us. The next time I hear something on racial prejudice, I hope it sounds more like this. Children of America, guard your parents against racial prejudice. Miss M.M. Is she asking too much? Being an average 17-year-old American girl, I'd like to have my say concerning the much-discussed juvenile delinquency problem. Most of our parents do not seem to realize that there are times that we must make our own decisions and use our own judgment. True, we make mistakes, but who doesn't? Why is it that when we wish to be left alone, our mothers and fathers say we are sulking? Yet, because we are active and spend much time away from our home at various wholesome activities, our elders believe we are always running around. Our parents tell us to invite our friends to our home, but when we do, mother disapproves of our dancing because it ruins the rugs. Dad becomes cross because he can't read his newspaper due to that blasted swing music. However, if mother or dad's friends drop in and raise Cain, it's entirely different. If we come home from a date a half an hour late, our parents believe we have been doing something bad and they refuse to listen to our explanation. We can't express our opinions when mother and dad discuss the problems of inflation, war, racial prejudices, etc., because they laugh at us and tell us we are too young to understand such important matters. In other words, our mothers and fathers expect us to act as grown-ups do, yet they continue to treat us as children. Just what do our parents expect from us? All we want is to be treated with the respect and consideration given to adults. Now, honestly, is that asking too much? Miss FP. So that is the conclusion of the submissions into the Village Pump from April 1948. It's kind of interesting to see some of those viewpoints because issues such as prejudice and trusting teenagers and how to cure a nagging husband were all in the minds of people of various different age groups. You could tell a lot of people were older, and then you had your teenagers write in, and you know, the woman that's complaining about that, the girl that's complaining about showers all the time and having to buy gifts. I think that some of these things are commonalities that we still see today, yet some of them, like, you know, intermarriage, which was scandalous at the time, is a little bit, you know, it seems a little antiquated given our current day. But I do see that some of these issues can still present itself in different fashions. So that is pretty much it for this episode. I'm going to be pretty much, you know, go to my website, periodicallyvintage.com, for more updates. And stay tuned for the second installment, which should be coming shortly. Take care and see ya. Bye.